see you guys here today. I'm excited about Vacation Bible School and about what God's going to teach us. And so I know this morning's a little different as the children and the youth praise band, the VBS band is leading. And now we've got the children in here. So this morning as I talk, we're going to kick off Vacation Bible School, but we're also kicking something else off, as for the next 6 weeks we're going to be having a special emphasis in our church leading up to our Homeland Security mission trip, where we are going to be doing missions right here in White House. And we have several projects, everything from ministering to shut-ins, to single moms, to ministering to the fire department, doing backyard Bible clubs. We're going to be doing fix-up projects in people's neighborhoods. And so just an incredible amount of things. So for the next 5 or 6 weeks in Sunday school and in Sunday mornings, we're going to be learning about what God truly has called us to do, so we can all learn together as we see what God has sent us to do. So this morning I'll be speaking to you as adults, but also I want to make sure that it's on a level that the children can understand. So if my preaching seems a little different, I'm gearing that towards making sure that the kids are going to learn and understand where we're headed to as they walk into VBS this week. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, and we're going to begin with that scripture. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. It's a scripture that probably a lot of y'all have heard before, but maybe don't know exactly where it's found. So the prophet Isaiah says in verse 8, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me." Now in this scripture, the prophet Isaiah, the Old Testament, he's found himself in a very difficult time. There was a king who had led Israel for several decades, and this king had died, and the nation was not doing well. People everywhere were looking to the good old days, and they were wondering, what's going to happen? And this is when Isaiah, the prophet, has an incredible vision that's recorded in the Bible, and he falls to his knees, and he's talking with God, and God throws out a question to Isaiah. Who will go for us? Who will be sent? And Isaiah answers, "Here I am, send me." You know, I feel like people are asking that question today, but the difference is children, church members, Christians are saying, who's going to go? You see, God has already asked, and in fact, God has already answered the question. But many times we're like, well, who's going to go? Who's going to be a part of this mission trip? Who's going to live for Jesus? Who's going to share the love they have with other people? And as Christians, that's really not a question we should be asking, because it's already been asked to us. We need to see what God has called us to do. Now, as a church, our vision is very clear that we want every person, man, woman, child, to find their identity in Christ, that Jesus is their life. And we want them to understand that there's nothing we can do for salvation, that Jesus did it all. And we want them to understand grace. It's very important that we understand that it is our command by Jesus to go and make disciples. Our church has been very involved in missions, and I believe that as we go to Haiti, and even as we begin right here in White House, the light that shines the brightest at home shines around the world. Do any of y'all children have lights on the outside of your house? Y'all know what? Yeah, and you have those lights on the outside of your house. And I had some floodlights that went out, and I just recently changed them. And I forgot what my house looked like at night till I put these lights. I forgot, wow, man, this really lights our house up. And it's amazing how that light works its way out. And the light that shines the brightest right there at our house will begin to work its way across the street in different places. And so this begins right here in our lives. It begins in Vacation Bible School. It begins in White House, us understanding, what has God called me to do? How has He called me to live? And when we understand that, we must understand that God has called us to make a total world impact. Everyone repeat with me, total world impact. Say that. Total world impact. Say it again, total world impact. Total world impact. Do you think that God can use you, a child or an adult, to impact the world? I believe he does. I believe he can. I believe he wants to. I believe that that's what his whole purpose for our lives is, to impact the world. And it's got to start here. Now, there are some words that become so much a part of our culture that they begin to lose their meaning. If I was to tell you, we're going to have a party, and I want you to bring Cokes. I want you to bring Cokes. Well, that could mean a lot of different things. Now, of course, up north, they say bring the pop or the soda. And in the south, you say bring the Cokes. Now, of course, you guys, I'm sporting my my Keep It Green Aldi shopping bag. Y'all like this, all right? And if I said bring the Cokes, well, here in the south, you might bring Dr. Pepper because it's all Coke, right? Bring Dr. Pepper. If I say bring Coke, I say, what's your favorite Coke? You may say Sprite. We got any Sprite fans out there? Well, you know, if I'm really going to sport Aldi, you might even say Diet GT Cola that comes from Aldi. There you go. You like that one? You can have it. I don't like it. But you know, if I say bring Coke, there's only, in my mind, there's only one real Coke. This is it right here. I love Coke. In fact, I've told my wife, if for some reason I ever get really sick and I'm in a coma, just hook that stuff up to my IV, and I'll be okay. But the word Coke has lost its meaning. It just, here in the South, it means all kinds of things. But really, it's about Coke Classic. Well, you know, I found in the church a lot of words lose their meaning, or we really don't understand, or maybe we use them so much that people don't know what they mean anymore. We use words like saved, redeemed, sanctified, justified, these big words, and a lot of adults don't even know what these words mean, let alone the children. And so maybe sometimes it's time for us to go back to something that everyone should understand, but maybe it's lost its meaning. Well, here's a word that I believe has lost its meaning, or people have forgotten what it means in the church, and it's the word missional. Missional. Say that word with me, missional. This is on the endangered word list in the church. You know, you have an animal that's its species is going extinct and it's endangered. Well, this word in a lot of churches is becoming endangered. It's fast becoming a word that people throw around, but they really don't know what it means, let alone how to live it out. Now, if you look at that word missional, what is the root part of that word? What is the main part of it? Mission. It is mission. That's the main part. So we as Christians are to be missional Christians. I'll explain what that means in a minute. Now, I'll give you a phrase that really, really baffles me. Sometimes I hear people say, we need to be on mission Christians. Well, you think, what's wrong with that? On mission Christian, I mean, aren't we supposed to be? And here's why I have a problem with that phrase. Shouldn't it just be understood that if you're a Christian, you're supposed to be on mission? Isn't it redundant? Aren't you kind of overemphasizing something? Why should we have to say be an on mission Christian? You see, I believe the early church understood if you were a Christian, you were automatically on mission. You didn't have to add something to it. We need to be on mission Christians, and somehow, in this day and age, children and adults have said, well, there's the Christians, and then there's the Christians that are on mission. And there shouldn't be two different categories. As Christians, we should all be on mission. It's kind of like saying, you know, I'm gonna build me a house, and I'm going to find a carpenter that builds things. Well, why would I say that? I'm going to find a carpenter. I don't have to say that builds things. Or I'm going to go get my hair cut, so I'm going to find a barber that cuts hair, as opposed to a barber that doesn't cut hair. Is there such thing as a Christian that's not on mission? You see, we are called to be on mission as Christians, and it should just be understood, if you are a Christian, God has called you for a mission, for a purpose. We have put a label on something that should just be a natural attribute of who we are in Christ. So that's what we're going to be talking about the next several weeks. You know, there's this struggle with churches in America that they do things based on tradition or maybe philosophy. Or maybe people go to a church and maybe your family has been in a church and you say, you know, we're not happy here, so we're going to go find somewhere else where we can get energized. Or, you know, this church just doesn't have what we're looking for. We're looking for something else. And, you know, sometimes that's okay. God calls people to different churches and ministers to them in different ways. But you know what it has to start with? Not what is the church going to do for me? How is it going to make me happy? How am I going to get energized? It starts with us walking in the door saying, God, now that I'm here, what would you have me do? How would you have me, God, as a child, as a high schooler, as an adult, as a senior adult, how would you have me to serve you in this church? And when that begins to be your mentality, it changes. The things that used to frustrate you maybe don't frustrate you as much because your identity isn't in the church trying to entertain you, or the church trying to provide something for you that makes you feel good, or the church provide this place where you can fit in. You know, a lot of times I see families and they say, we're going to move to another church because, you know, we're just not really finding our place, and maybe their children, you know, our children's friends go to this other church. But then a lot of times they go to this other church and they still never get plugged in because maybe, and this isn't every case, sometimes it is wise to move. Maybe God's calling you somewhere else. But sometimes maybe, like, God, what is you calling us as a family and how are we to serve? That's the place to start. God, what do you want us to do? Because we're all called to be missionaries. So we're going to talk about that. Now, you know, God has a lot of different names. What is your favorite name for God? Anybody? Jehovah, what's yours? Jesus, that's a good one. That's my favorite one, too. Powerful, Abba, Father, Holy God. Yeah, Jack. Omega, beginning and the end, yeah. Papa, Father. There's so many names of God. Father, Almighty, Deliverer, Healer. And they all signify different things. He is Elohim, which means strong one. He is El Shaddai, God Almighty. He is Jehovah Jireh, the provider. He's so many things and provides everything we need. But here's the, now I wouldn't say a problem, but here's the trap we fall into. We tend to gravitate towards the name that means the most to us and sometimes forget about many of the other attributes and names of God. We focus on the ones that we like, and there's no doubt God ministers to us in different ways, but sometimes there's names of God that are just as important. Have you ever considered that God is a sender? God is a sender. We think about all the, but what is your favorite name of God? Nobody said sender. But he is. God is a sender. And the early church seemed to understand the sending part of the character of God maybe better than we do. In fact, those first members of the church, they understood it so much that it became a part of their name. The group of men that were with Jesus in the beginning, we call them disciples. You know what the other name that we called them started with an A? Does anybody remember? Apostles. And apostles was a word translated from the Greek word apostolos, and that word literally means sent. So we think about these guys that were following Jesus, but their name literally means not that they were just following, but Jesus was going to send them to do something. I think that you understand what it means to be sent to do things. You children, when you're in trouble, where might your parents send you? To your room. He's cracking me up. And or maybe you get in trouble at school, you get sent out in the hall, or sent to the corner. Do they still send kids to the corner? I guess that's not correct anymore. You can't, because that ridicules them. And of course, some of you senior adults, you might remember the day like when they sent you to the corner and put a big dunce cap on your head. Can you believe they actually did that? Or maybe, I know some of you adults, when you got in trouble as a kid, you got sent outside to go get a switch off the tree. Or you got sent out to the woodshed and daddy will meet you out there. But it's not always a negative thing. Sometimes your mom or dad sends you to the mailbox to go get the mail. Or maybe your mom sends your dad to the grocery store to get some milk. And I think you understand, well, today that we're going to learn that God sends us. And here's an important truth. When you become a Christian, you get Jesus. He becomes your life. He lives inside your heart. And then, not only does he just live there, he wants to guide you. He wants to say, hey, go this direction. I want you to do this. I want you to live this way. I want you to serve and love people. And as we follow him, we need to understand that God is sending us, that God is a sender, and respond to it. But when we have a mission as a Christian, see, here's another thing that a lot of times we lose sight. Is it our mission? Is it my mission to go and tell people about Jesus? Is it? This is a trick question. It's God's mission. And God sends me to do his mission. It's not Ashley's mission. It's God's mission, and I get on board with it. And a lot of times we think, well, I got to do my part, and I got to do my mission. No, you got to understand what God's mission is, and then see how he wants you to be a part of it. We don't go because your parents are going. You don't go because a movie star or a singer are going. You don't go because you've watched American Idol and they had a big fundraiser to help children. We don't go because the world is hurting. We don't even go because we want to help people. Even though all these things are important, people do need help. They are hurting. These are reasons that we go. But the main reason we go is because we are joining with God's mission. And God has given it to us, and he has called us to do something. And as Christians, that's what we're called to do. Now, for you mission enthusiasts out there, people that really are into missions, this may sting a bit, but mission isn't the going. It's not. Mission is understanding and enveloping the whole idea that this is God's purpose, his mission. And it's developing an understanding and an intimacy with God that, God, I love you, and I am on mission, whether I'm going to my next door neighbor or whether I'm going to Africa. This is my life. And it's not just about missionaries, but it's about every single one of us. What God has called us. And our mission is not our mission at all. It's God's mission. If we don't understand his purpose, we can do all the right things and still miss the whole point. We can go and do and do and do. You see, there's a lot of people in the world that go and do things for other people. They help them. They help them with the floods. They help them after the earthquakes. But that doesn't necessarily mean they understand that God's purpose for their lives. We as Christians need to understand that. We understand that God has sent us and it's his mission. So I want to go through just a few things this morning about where we can learn how God has sent us. And I want to begin with Abraham. I want to begin with Abraham in the Old Testament. So turn with me to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And we're going to see in these three verses that God chose and sent Abraham. God chose Abraham, and when he chose Abraham, it was the beginning of his choosing the entire Jewish people. Not because they were going to be chosen and God was going to leave out the rest of the world. God was going to choose them and send them so the rest of the world could know God. So he chose them, Israel, Abraham, so the world would eventually know Jesus. So look in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, and I'll read that for you. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred, and that's your relatives, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You see, God sent Abraham, and the world was going to be blessed through his family, and then other people would be born, and then other people would be born, and eventually Jesus would be born. But it started with Abraham, and God sent him so that you and I are even blessed because Abraham was sent. Eventually we would know Jesus. And then here we are as Christians, and what's our role? We'll talk about that in just a moment. In Isaiah 6:8, where that scripture we read in the beginning, who will go? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Is it easy to go, to understand God's mission and to be obedient and do it? Is it easy? You can say, yes, it is easy if you understand what Ms. Jenda said in Sunday school. We talked about with the adults that we have all power, all authority given to us through the Holy Spirit. But that doesn't mean that there's not going to be obstacles along the way. You see, God told Isaiah, who will go? And Isaiah said, send me. But this was very tricky because God went on to tell Isaiah that his mission would be to proclaim a message to people who weren't going to listen to him. Can you imagine that? How hard God says, I want you to go do this, but people aren't really going to listen. I would get discouraged. I would think, well, my goodness, what's the use in this? If people aren't even going to listen. But Isaiah had to understand that the success of his mission, it wasn't in who would listen. For Isaiah to succeed was just to do what God commanded him to do. That was success. A lot of times when we go and witness to a friend, we think that we succeed if our friend becomes a Christian. And you think, if I can lead, if you lead 10 people to Jesus this week, does that make you a success in God's eyes? Well, that's successful, you know, that's good. But you really know what success is when it comes to witnessing? Witnessing. That's success. God says, my mission is for you to go and tell people about Jesus. And when you obediently go and share love and tell people about Jesus and go and make disciples and teach people about Jesus and teach them that they're to teach other people about Jesus, God says, that's success. You let me save people. I can't save anybody. Pastor Josh can't save anybody. Miss Lisa can't save anybody. We just have to say, God, this is what you've called us to do, and we're going to do it. And when we do what God has called us to do, God says, thank you, that's what I want. Let me save people. Success is just going and being obedient to what God has called us to do. In church, we measure success so many different ways. Maybe we measure it by how many people come to Sunday school, or how big our offering is, or how small it is. Or maybe we measure it on how many baptisms we've had, or how many mission trips we do, or how good our programs or our WANA is, or maybe how many people are involved in church discipleship, or maybe you're about making disciples, and for you, your identity in Christ is wrapped up on, God will only be pleased with me if I have this many disciples that are discipling other people. And we get wrapped up in success, and God says, success is you just being obedient and understanding what I've called you to do and trusting in me for everything to get it done. That's success. So God called Abraham and sent him, but then I want to look at someone else that God sent. Turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. For here in the beginning of the book of John, we have the story of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was sent to tell people about Jesus, to bear witness to the light. John wasn't called to be the light. He was sent for a mission to tell others about the light. So, the light being Jesus. John chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. Sounds easy, doesn't it? John, his only job was to go and just tell people that Jesus was coming and to witness about Jesus. And John lived happily ever after and never had another problem in his life. No, his head ended up on a plate. That's crazy, isn't it? That's stuff that we don't even want our kids to watch on TV. Well, it's right there in the Bible. God was obedient. John was obedient to God, and because of that, they chopped his head off and put it on a plate. Sometimes following God is not easy. And the only way we can do it is by trusting in Jesus who lives inside us. You see, because people are scared, that's why a lot of people don't do it. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it all the time. And maybe they don't understand that they're being sent, or maybe they don't understand that Jesus is going to give them the strength and the power to do whatever he called them to do. You know, if it's dependent on me, Pastor Ashley, if I had to go out, even if I had to preach this sermon or go witness to somebody today on how smart I am or how strong or how much courage I have, I would be scared to death. And a lot of times I am scared to death. And those times when I'm scared, I have to say, okay, God, just me and Wayne Williams were praying right before I came to preach, and he prayed for me. And he said, God, speak through Ashley, not let it be Ashley, let it be you. And that's the only way I can get up here and do that. And that's the only way you can go and do what God has called you as he has sent us. So God called and sent Abraham. He sent John the Baptist. But then we see in John 3:16, God sending someone else. For God so loved the world that he gave, and some of you memorized it as that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the main part of everything that God sent. It all revolves around God sending Jesus. God sent messengers to prepare the way, and they understood their call, and they told people, Jesus is going to come, Jesus is going to come. And then Jesus came, and then Jesus reached out to those apostles, and then reached out to the early church and said, God sent Abraham, God sent John the Baptist, God sent me, and now I'm sending you. Jesus, like those before him, he was firmly convinced that God had sent him. In the book of John, 40 times Jesus refers to himself as being sent by God. And he wasn't operating on his own will, but following God's will. He knew that he was being sent to seek and save the people that were lost, the people that needed love, the people that needed forgiveness, the people that needed a sacrifice, somebody that would die for them, to give them forgiveness of their sins. And do you think that Jesus, being that he was 100% human, do you think that he was ever scared? Do you think he was? Probably. A lot of people probably don't agree with you and say he's not. Do you think Jesus ever thought, man, this is going to be tough for me to die on the cross? I believe that Jesus thought that, because I know that when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying, and he was talking to God, and he was there, and he was praying to God, and he knew that he was getting ready to go die on the cross, and all the sins of the world were going to be on him. You imagine how much stress that was going to put on him, and how bad the nails were going to hurt, and how people were going to make fun of him, and just all the ridicule, and God, even himself, was going to look at Jesus and see the sin that was on him, and turn his back. Jesus was under such stress that the Bible says that Jesus was sweating blood. He was sweating blood. I've never seen anybody sweat blood, but I've heard scientists say that you can be so stressed out that it's physically possible to sweat blood. That's how stressed out Jesus was, because he knew he was going to have to die. He knew what he was being sent to do. And Jesus said, God, if there's any other way, can we do it any other way? But then he said, but I don't want what I want. I want what you want, God. So whatever you want, that's what I'll do. Not my will, but yours. And then Jesus was obedient and trusted in God. And of course, Jesus was God himself. And he realized why he was sent. And then he died for us. And then he rose again. He got all those apostles around and they began to talk about now what their mission was. You see, Jesus was also in the sending business. He was not only sent, he was a sender. And so he poured into these 12 guys for 3 years, but he wasn't leaving them alone. He also was going to send someone to help the apostles and to help you and I. Who did Jesus send to help us? Does anybody know? Does anybody know? The Holy Spirit. That's exactly right. So just as Jesus, the disciples got to walk with Jesus and talk with him and eat with him and spend time with him, the Holy Spirit is 100% God and will walk with us and talk with us and live with us. He is real. And Jesus sends him to help us. And now Jesus sends us. I want to give you four scriptures about what Jesus sends us to do. First of all, where he sends us. I'm going to give you a scripture to let us know that he has sent us. So turn with me to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Verse 21. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." So Jesus said, God sent me to you, and now I'm sending you out in the world to tell other people. Now here's what's really interesting about this scripture. If we go back a couple of verses, in verse 19, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them. So the disciples were scared. They were in the house with the doors locked. And then Jesus comes in and says, guys, it's time to get out of the house. I want you to go and tell people about me. And the incredible thing was that they were scared for their lives, but when Jesus told them and they realized that he rose again, they were willing to go and do it. And they did it. And they followed what God called them, what Jesus told them to do. And then Jesus sends us. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And this is one of the most important verses in the entire Bible. And we call this verse the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 18. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the very end of the age." If we look at the scripture, we see that God is going to give us everything that we need to have the strength to go. And then he tells us, he commands us to go and make disciples. Now, when I was a kid, I always thought that this verse was just about going to be a missionary. And that's part of it. We are to go and tell people about Jesus and them to become Christians. But when we tell someone about Jesus and they become a Christian, then we have to tell them how they are to go and tell someone. And we have to teach them the Bible. And we have to teach them about everything Jesus wants them to learn and say, now that you've learned these things, you go and witness to somebody and you teach them to go and teach someone else. And this is what God has called us to do. He sent us to do this. God has also called us just to be witnesses. And a verse that's very similar to Matthew chapter 28 is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And you children haven't heard this as much, but the adults have, because we've been in the book of Acts for a year and a half now. But Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And that power is the word that we get the word dynamite from. So God is saying, as powerful as dynamite is, that's how powerful the Holy Spirit that will help you. And then he says, the Holy Spirit will come on you and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, to the end of the earth. So God calls us to go with his power and to witness to people. You know something else God has sent all of us to do? And I think a lot of this is missing. Did anyone see 2020 this week, any of you adults? There was a special about this church, the hate church, that God hates the world. God hates the church. God, I mean, it was crazy. And these little kids are singing praise songs about God hates the world and stuff. And it's just so unbiblical. In John chapter 13, verse 34, there's something that God has called us to do. And it starts with your friends, your family, here in the church, and the people that you interact with. And even in 6 weeks when we're going to go do this mission trip here in White House, God has called us to love. John 13, 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I love you, you are also to love one another. And God has sent us to love the people in the world, to love the people in our church, to love the people that are struggling, that don't have a lot to eat, or don't have a lot of money, or to go love someone that's a single mom, or to love your friend whose parents have been divorced and they need a Christian friend, or to go and love your grandma who's lonely, to love through Jesus living inside you. He is calling us to go and to share His love. And another thing that Jesus has called us to do, He has sent us to go and serve people. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. God sends us as Christians to go and serve. How many of you all like to go out to eat? I sure do. I love going out to eat. What if you went to a real nice restaurant, and you go there, and you sit at the table, and it's a restaurant where a waiter or waitress comes to take your order, but you sit there for about 2 or 3 hours, and no one ever came to take your order? Well, first of all, no one would stay 2 or 3 hours. You'd get up and leave. You see, they're called to be your server. They're coming to take, you know, to take your food order. Or what if you gave your food order and said, okay, well, I'm at Olive Garden, and I want the lasagna, and I want a sweet tea. And the waiter or the waitress said, okay, great. And then they came back with the lasagna, and they smashed it on the table, and they poured the iced tea on your head. Well, that's not serving somebody. That's just throwing it in their face. You see, God has called us to serve people. You want this waiter to bring your food and to say, is there anything else I can get you? And you need, I mean, I love a good waiter when they just keep my sweet tea refilled. You know, that's what I like. What is God calling us to do? To serve people. And the main thing that He wants us to do is to go out and share the love of Jesus with the world and to make disciples. You see, church is not about us. Church is a group of people that are called to do something that God wants them to do. It's about God. It starts with making disciples, and then it gets real practical. You see, you know where God is sending us? How many of you kids play soccer? You know where God's sending you? To share Jesus on the soccer field. How many of you moms in the room go to Walmart to get your groceries? God's calling you to Walmart to love the people that you're in line with. How many of you take karate? God's calling you to the dojo to share Jesus with the people that you're in karate with. How many of you are going to go home today and eat lunch with your family? God's called you and sent you to love your family. How many of you children have a friend that you're going to play with this week outside in your neighborhood? God is sending you to love that friend. And it goes on and on and on. It is every part of our lives. God is sending us. And then God may send you to Haiti or to Africa, or Brother Daryl just got back from Japan. But it starts in your life this morning, right now. And then when you get up tomorrow, say, God, you sent me today, wherever I'm at, you show me what you want me to do. And God, there's this big mission trip coming up in July. What are you sending me to do? And fall in love with Jesus and be just like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. God, whatever your will is, I'll follow. You just show me. Because God is sending us. He's sending you children. He's sending adults. We're all called to be His missionaries. We understand that we are to be sent. Let's go and spread the news of Jesus in the world. Let's go and make disciples. Let's go to the soccer fields, to our next door neighbor, to our family, to our friends, and understand that we are sent and go and share Jesus.